Now, let's come to the next section concerning the Ten Commandments. Now, this is a shorter section in the belief booklet because we've already covered the nature of God's laws and commandments. So let's come to the next section there, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments spoken by God to Israel are the foundation of all God's laws. You think about that. If you're studying the Bible and you go through and you come across a law, you stop and ask the question, what does this apply to? Which of the Ten Commandments does this relate to? And you will find that it does. They have been in effect from the beginning of mankind over 3,000 years before their pronouncement at Mount Sinai. Their written form is a summary of the spiritual laws which function at all times, whether a person is aware of them or not. Obedience to these commandments brings blessing, and disobedience brings curses. We covered that last time in the nature of God's laws. The Ten Commandments teach us how to express love toward God and our fellow man. They must be obeyed as a condition for receiving eternal life. Now, many people don't believe that. So let's start at the end. Let's go to the book of Revelation, Revelation 22. And let's see what we're told here concerning the commandments of God. And we will go to Exodus 20 and look at the Ten Commandments one by one. And I think we'll find them very profound indeed. Let's pick it up here in verse 12. Revelation 22 and verse 12. And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give to everyone according as his work shall be. And if his work is the loving God, keeping his commandments, loving neighbor, loving the brethren, your reward is going to be fantastic. Verse 13, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments. Now, some translations have it, blessed are they who wash their robes. But that comes from a different Greek text. That comes from the Sinaiticus or Alexandrian or Vaticanus text. And again, to do his commandments means to practice them. Now, notice what this gives you the right. That you may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Let's ask the question the other way as we're turning to Exodus 20. If someone is sinning, are they going to enter into the kingdom of God in righteousness? So sometimes when you're stuck with some of these things, ask the opposite question. All right, let's just start right out with the first one. Again, we're going to see that all of these are for relationships. Number one, to God, based upon loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul and being. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. And these relationships are a created relationship. That's something that really hit me this past week. You take all these years. Are you thick-headed or not? Yes, Fred, you're thick-headed. We're all thick-headed. And the hardest thing is to get preconceived notions out of our mind and have the things of God in our mind. Now, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, when you stop and understand that there is one true God, and he is the one true God, how ridiculous it is to have any other kind of God before him. Because it cannot be a God. Look at all of the gods of Egypt that they had, all of their animals. The river was a god. The cobra was a god. The alligator was a god. The scarabs were gods. Flies were gods. Monkeys were gods. Now, when it came time for all the plagues and everything that happened, did it spare them? Nope. Did it save their firstborn? Nope. And all of the gods that we have in the world today are one form or another of the gods that came out of Egypt. Whether it be Buddhism or Hinduism or Catholicism or any of the other religions. Now, some people may have some knowledge of God, but not according to true knowledge, and so therefore, they're kind of walking down the side of the road with all the clutter. Now, you try driving your car down alongside the freeway instead of on the freeway, you're going to find out you're going to have great trouble. But if you stay on the freeway of God, being the commandments of God, you're going to go the way that God wants you to go. Now then, number two, you shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that's on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow yourself down unto them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. It actually means zealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So there we are, full circle, back to love me and keep my commandments, right in what? The second commandment. Now, let's look at this second commandment a little bit more and come back at it. If you have an idol, you don't love God. It's that simple. Think of that. He says, let's read it again here, verse 4. You shall not make unto you any graven image of any likeness. Any likeness. That includes everything. Crosses, crucifixes, stars of David, statues of saints, all of that. Because they're all likeness, aren't they? Yes. And I remember when I was on KABC Religion on the Line, I was the Protestant representative supposedly for 4 Sundays. That was on from 9 at night to midnight. It was a call-in show. They had a Catholic priest. And I never will forget, it was Father Duhmeyer, big 300-pound German. And then they had Rabbi Franklin. So I always tease Carl about that, too. Anyway, you always have the Jehovah Witness call in and harass the Catholic priest with the Second Commandment. And the answer is, well, we don't view these as idols or statues. These are just reminders. And we don't worship them. And when he got done all explaining it, I said, well, you are correct, but you missed the point. I said, you shall not make unto you any graven image of any likeness. You're not even to have them, let alone think of them as reminders. Well, needless to say, I scooted out of there very quickly at midnight. He didn't say anything, but boy, he sure was breathing. And I don't want to tangle with a 300-pound Jesuit father, so-called. So anyway, why? Because idolatry cuts you off from God, that's why. And how can you make a likeness of God who is spirit? You can't. Who is made in the likeness of God? We are. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord your God will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. And of course, this applies not only to swearing and cursing, but it applies to all those who are false prophets and teachers. Are they not taking the name of God in vain when they say God said when God didn't say? We'll see in just a minute. That's why we meet on the Sabbath, because God says, remember the Sabbath day. If we meet on any other day and proclaim that God's day, whether Friday or Sunday, being a Muslim or a Catholic or a Protestant, then are we taking God's name in vain? Yes, we are, because God didn't say so, did he? So you see, sometimes these get down to some very simple things, and that does away with a lot of these high-minded, falutin arguments that people have, one way or the other. Now, let's read the one concerning the Sabbath, and the Sabbath, again, is for a relationship. As was mentioned in the opening prayer, that we can fellowship together, that we can fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. And there is to be a special blessing when you come together on the Sabbath. That's very important to realize. So that's why we need to come together on the Sabbath, for the blessing that God alone can give. So just keep that in mind. Now let's read it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. But on the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Now, of defines ownership. God owns it. It belongs to him. It's not our day. Sunday is my day. Monday is my day. Tuesday is my day. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I can do whatever I want on those days, right? But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. That's God's day. And God says it's an appointed time. So if you want to have a relationship with God, then you keep the Sabbath. You shall not do any work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. Now, why did God give this commandment? Well, he gave that commandment so you will miss all the good Saturday shopping specials. That's why he gave it. Because he's a mean, nasty God and doesn't want you to save money. Nonsense, of course not. But some people think that way. Or some people think, well, God gave the Sabbath to the Jews to punish them. Well, God didn't give the Sabbath to the Jews, punish them. He gave it to all mankind as a blessing for all mankind. And he gave it to the 12 tribes of Israel, of whom the Jews were only one tribe, you see. And so some people say, well, since the Sabbath is a curse, punishment, the Jews have it. Look at them. Look what they're going through. Well, they're going through what they go through because they rejected Christ. They're not going through what they go through because of the Sabbath. It's a whole different story, you see. So they say, well, we don't want to join them. We need to keep Sunday. Or the Muslims say, well, we couldn't possibly do that. Mohammed says Friday. Now, here's the reason, verse 11. For in 6 days God made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Hallowed it makes it holy. Let's go back to Genesis 2 here. Hold your place here, because we'll be right back. Go to Genesis 2. From the beginning, God wanted the relationship with mankind. That's why he created the Garden of Eden and put man in there. And since it wasn't good for man to be alone, God made a helpmeet for him. Took one of his ribs and created Eve. A created relationship. Man was to have then the seventh day as a created relationship with his maker. To come to God. And after all, what is the most important thing in life? Most important thing in this physical life is to know God and love him and to receive his spirit so you can be in the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? What if you live your whole life and that never happens to you? Well, God has a way of solving that later on, but I mean for us today. Think about it. Quite a wonderful and precious thing that God has given with the Sabbath. I'm kind of overflowing into the next one, which is the weekly Sabbath and so forth, but these kind of blend together, so just take it that way. Verse 1, Genesis 2, thus the heavens and earth were finished and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work, and it should read the sixth day, not the seventh. And there are actually some theologians which go there and say, okay, well, he ended his work on the seventh day, therefore that's why we keep the first day. No. Which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, that is, made it holy, because in it that he rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, can you imagine what the Sabbath must have been like before Adam and Eve sinned? To sit down and talk with your Creator face to face. You talk about an absolute blessing. You talk about something that it just kind of sends shivers up and down my spine just to even think about it. See, what an absolute wonderful blessing that would be. So man in his sin says, oh, no, God, I don't need you, starting with Adam and Eve. So God is further and further and further pushed away. we're out in the world today, people say, well, God? Where's God? Sad thing. All because they don't remember the Sabbath. Now, let's come back here to Exodus 20 again. Now, also, in keeping the Sabbath, there comes another blessing with it, too. If you keep the Sabbath and really love God, you will never believe in evolution, because you will know that God created everything. Just think of all the problems which would fall by the wayside when Christ returns and everyone is keeping the Ten Commandments of God. I'll find someone to do an economic study as to what would happen in eliminating taxes, fines, penalties from the economy if everyone kept the commandments of God. As I mentioned once before, you would probably have Maytag policemen. Nothing to do. Now let's come to the next commandment. Verse 12, which is the fifth commandment then. Honor your father and your mother, which then is a created relationship, isn't it? Yes, it is. It is a created relationship. It's not a hierarchy. It's not a partnership. It's not a company or a corporation. It is what? A family. And a family is a created relationship that God designed. That's why our relationship with God is so very, very important. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. And so the first thing that Satan does in the schools today is to teach children to dishonor their fathers and mothers, that their lives may be short, filled with drugs and sex and violence. And if they survive that during their 20s and 30s, then they're going to be debilitated with diseases and things in their 40s and 50s and die a very early life if they don't die earlier. Just think where the world would be today if we had this commandment obeyed, honor your father and mother. What a different story it would be. Let's go to the next one. You shall not murder. That's what it should be. Should not murder. Wouldn't it be nice if everyone could have it where they would not be in fear of their life? You shall not commit adultery. Why? Because committing adultery breaks the created relationship of husband and wife. Very profound. I want you to think on that now. It just came to me this past week as I did that for the Feast of Tabernacles. I want you to think on this concerning the created relationships that God has given. And that's why God wants us to have the love for Him, love for each other, husband and wife and brethren and neighbors. God created all human beings, so it's a created relationship, isn't it? Yes, it is. So these last six commandments tell us how to get along with our neighbor in this created relationship. Now, maybe some neighbors, it's awfully hard to love, especially if they're pesky neighbors. We have one that way, almost like he has a periscope on top of his head, walking back and forth our back fence to see what's going on in our backyard. The best way we can love him is to just leave him alone. We'd like to have it different, but sometimes it has to be that way. Can't run over and create problems with it. You shall not steal. Shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. Shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, maidservant, his ox, his ass, or anything that is your neighbor's. All of these are to maintain the proper relationships between you and God and you and your neighbor. And then when we come to the New Testament, all the relationships that we have of loving each other as Christ has loved us. So the Ten Commandments are very, very profound and important. And I want you to be sure and take the Belief Booklet and read the two sections on faith and grace. Because the commandments of God do not do away with faith and grace. As a matter of fact, all of them are together. Everything comes in a package. All of it together.
This tape has been brought to you by the Christian Biblical Church of God website at www.cbcg.org. And thank you for listening.